top of the roof. Well, this had a, this was a camera bar, and they used a combination of radar. There was the sensors were built into the bumpers, and the cameras, and they had cameras in the mirrors, and they just had they had cameras and sensors everywhere, and it was smooth enough. I mean, they pulled into the they pulled out of the parking lot. The lady that was doing the test drive, she was the one behind the wheel. She pressed the button, the truck took off, and took them on a 26-mile journey without one hitch.
Wow, that's something else. What technology? And I think the only thing that my vehicle don't have, because it's the middle of the road vehicle, it just happens to have an optional option two option package, is it doesn't have cylinder cancellation for, you know, the ultimate gas mileage. But that auto stop thing, you can turn it off, but every time you start the vehicle, it defaults to on, and you have to push a button on the dash and to turn it off. And of course, I'm always forgetting to do that, and I stop at the light, and off it goes. But you can also get into a menu system and adjust the amount of wait time before it shuts off.
Whoa. Does you notice any, you know, have you done any testing to see if it affects your mileage or not?
No, because I don't drive it that much anymore. And I'm either in two modes here. I'm either driving to a supermarket, or I'm taking a long trip somewhere to buy a Linear.
Oh, my. Well, I'll tell you, it comes to vehicles having that kind of stuff on it. If it's well adopted and all the vehicle manufacturers do that, boy, it's time to get a horse.
Yeah, there goes the carbon footprint.
Yeah, my. I'll tell you. You just mentioned something else interesting. You notice since everybody's been quarantined with this this virus thing, they said that the pollution in the cities has gone way down.
Oh, I'll bet everything is just in a seized up limbo now. This is probably going to go, or has gone nationwide already, but I remember my state here, Michigan, that the first thing they did was close the schools and stop all these gatherings at major places like casinos, schools, and bars. And now they've completely closed the restaurants to where they're offering delivery service for food.
Yeah, they interviewed a guy the other day who was saying that that's not going to work. He said that, you know, that his business could not survive on the takeout and the carryout stuff. So, I don't know. This is going to cause all kinds of problems.
Yeah, well, this original 2-week shutdown of the schools, which started everything, was a joke. They're not going to have a handle on anything for months.
Well, I doubt seriously if any of the schools are going to open before the end of the school year. I think it'll be September before the schools reopen.
That's probably a more realistic outlook. Like I say, you know, they're just not going to stop this. I mean, the steps they've taken so far, they're probably looking for a decline in new cases. But you know, the bottom line is there's a lot of people infected, and and they've got to stop the spread, and they're not going to do it in 2 weeks.
No, I agree with you. This virus is just too easy to pass around. That's the incredible part of the whole thing. Just you know, you never know where you're picking it up from. I don't know. And the thing itself is they've been saying all along that the death toll or the death rate on this particular virus is so much higher than like the flu. The flu is like 0.01%, where this is like at 1 or 2%. And you know, that's a pretty gruesome specification on this thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm up to speed on the latest findings on this condition, but it seems from the last thing I've heard that if you're of the age or don't have the ability to fight off pneumonia, you're pretty much in bad shape.
Yeah, well, I think it's a compromised immune system, if anything. If you've had, like, you know, heart problems and you're taking medication, or you've had, you know, asthma, emphysema, you know, problems like that. Why, anytime your immune system's compromised, I guess you're pretty much you're pretty much the target.
Yeah, that's probably the bottom line. But you know, it sure makes you think now. And just handling money, and then you know, the idea that this can live on a metal surface for so many hours. And I'm thinking about going to the car wash today. I got to spray quarters, and I'm going to have to spray the knob that I have to turn to turn the car wash. Jesus.
You know, you get a little vial of the virus, and you have a guy in the parking lot that wants to ding your truck up. You just go smear a little on the inside of his handle so he gets in the car and he's toast.
Yeah, and then he'll go out there and infect about 40 more people.
Oh, God, this is horrible. I don't know. I'm not having any trouble with it at all, though. I'm kind of a hermit type guy anyway. And since I don't handle money, I'm in good shape.
Yeah, that's pretty much my routine. I'm a hermit up here in the woods and pretty much do a shopping trip. And I don't even get out of the car. My wife does the shopping. I just kind of her personal taxi.
Yeah, let her go in and pick up the virus.
One thing she did, though, she got a couple little miniature spritzer bottles, and she mixed up her solution of alcohol and a soap mix. I think she used this like 97% isopropyl alcohol. And why, when she comes out of that Walmart, she's spraying everything down her hands and everything before she even touches the truck door handle.
I do pretty much the same thing, Ron. I've got a bottle of Bailey's in the refrigerator. Every time I go get a cup of coffee, I smear it all over my face.
He'll live forever.
Oh, golly, I'll tell you. I don't know. It's funny. There was one guy down in, what was it, Kentucky or Tennessee, that they had he'd been tested, and he was positive for the virus. And they put him in, you know, at his house. They told him he had to stay at his house, that he was under, you know, mandatory quarantine. And he wouldn't do it. And they had to ring his house with sheriff's deputies.
Oh, God, what a waste of resources.
Really? I don't know. You know, there until today or yesterday, I guess, the state of West Virginia was the only state that didn't have any cases of the virus. Not even the virus wanted to go there.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, God. Well, hey, listen, Ron, I'm going to get out of here. Your package. Looks like your package is going to get there today. Have fun with it. It's a neat toy. It really is a neat toy. I've replaced it already. I've got another one coming that matches all these other ones I've got. So I have three of exactly the same kind, interchangeable parts and all that. But in fact, it was the one I sent you the link on. I bought it, and I should be getting that, I think, next Wednesday. And I'm just going to put it to use here in the shack. I need three of these. I need them like holes in the head. Hey, we'll see you later. Have fun. If you have any questions, give me a call on the phone or shoot me an email or something like that. We'll catch you a little bit later. Have a good day. KFG, this is W9MDX.
Yeah, I got a strong feeling I'm going to be hooked on these things myself. The more I read, the more I like, and while you're sure our space saving too. And I thank you for getting that in the mail quick and a reasonable price. So we'll catch you tomorrow, maybe. KFG.
Yeah, we'll see you, Ron. Yeah, it was funny because I looked at this thing. This, like I said, I had this motherboard and processor and everything and memory all picked out at Micro Center. I was getting ready to take a drive up to Cleveland to pick it up. And I'm working on it. There's a little machine here that I have that I'm going to use for a web server. And it's a, you know, standard, you know, desktop type computer case. And I'm lifting the thing up on the top of the desk here so I could work on it. And I'm thinking, I looked over at the little nook that's sitting here, and I said, I think I just made up my mind. So there are certainly advantages to these things. Catch you later. It's W9MDX, 73.
73 from KFG.
line. And it uses transit because they got to put the long run of wood along the one wall here at a certain level to box in the remaining piece of ductwork I have up here that needs boxed in. So we're working on that. So I put it up on top of my 8-foot ladder and a couple other things to raise it up to where you can jack it up and down a couple inches, but, you know, not that much. And it's on a gimbal, so it hangs from a pivot point from the top, so it's always level, you know, as long as you don't tilt the thing 30 degrees or something like that. So I put it up there and then turn the lights out and it runs a horizontal, a vertical, or horizontal and a vertical laser beam. And it's not the brightest thing in the world, but when I use it outside, I have to use it at the end of night to gauge how my wall's going. But I put that on here and turned the lights out, and I was able to mark all along the wall so I know it's level. And I know it's all the same height off the ground. So I put black marks all along the wall, and I'll cut the 2x4 in half today and tack it up there with my nailer, my finish nailer, and then put some screws in it once I get it where I want it. And then I got to come out and up, and I'll probably use that laser level again to mark exactly how far down I want the pieces of wood to go. And it comes in handy. I mean, I use it 3-4 times a year, but when I need it, I need it. And after I get done here, it'll probably go away. But I didn't pay that much for it. I found it on sale somewhere for like $30, and it was, you know, $100-some item. I forget where it was. Brand new. Online somewhere. I forget. But it works. And it actually has a little deal that you mount it on, and it's got a flexible back to it, and you get it on a real nice smooth surface like drywall and push a magic button and it sucks a vacuum on it and pulls this rubber diaphragm in to the point where you can put that thing up against the wall, turn that on, and it'll stay. It makes you uncomfortable because if it ever falls on the concrete, you can kiss it goodbye, but it works. So, but you need a flat, smooth surface, you know. But I've put it on drywall before, and it works like a charm. So I use that thing to verify my stuff is level and what have you in the basement down here so that I can go ahead and make sure that when I put the drywall up and on heaven, I will still have inconsistencies, but then will be not quite as good as the pros, but better than the amateur. K3DEB and an IP.
AR9PK3DEB. I have one of those, too, not as elaborate what you're describing. And I got it years ago, too. Fairly cheap somewhere. And, of course, I brought it home and I was looking for something to do with it. And one of the first things that came up was hanging some pictures here 3 years ago. And the whole thing didn't work out as I had envisioned it working out because this house is so cattywampus and I don't think there's much square and perpendicular anywhere. And if I hung the pictures so that they were dead level relative to the gravitational fields of the Earth, they look crooked because the walls and ceilings and whatnot were exactly plumb and square. So it didn't work out so well. But I've used it for some other things. But I haven't used it much.
As a matter of fact,
it's downstairs in one of the toolboxes, and come to think of it, it's one of those things that you use seldom, and when you go to use it, it's been sitting there for a year and a half, and the batteries are all crushed. I try to take batteries out of things, but sometimes I don't remember. I had to talk about, you mentioned the air color thing. I had a hair thing here last week, sometime, that drove me nuts. Now, she's in for being careful and cautious and yada, yada, yada. It doesn't bother her that the restaurants are closed, but she doesn't like to go out and spend money to eat anyways, and all that's okay. And of all things, she was going to out, and I said, where are you going? She said, the hairdressers. I said, what? We're quarantined and isolated, and you're going to the hairdresser. She has that short hair. You can't tell whether she's been to the hairdressers or not, but by golly, she was going. Well, they were exercising caution there, and dipping her hands in Clorox and doing all kinds of stuff. I guess next week we'll know when she got them. But of all the things that was, as far as I was concerned, that was a pure option. But it wasn't.
Her hair.
Dear, what else?
I don't know.
Actually, what I'm done here, I'm going to go work for my ex-son-in-law on this cockpit and monitor thing. I have two flat-screen monitors somewhere around here that I'm not using. My first effort before I even moved to the house is to get them out and see what we got to see if by some luck they have an HDMI port on them. I don't know. I don't recall. I would kind of doubt it. I don't know. Because I've had it for quite a while. So we'll see. We shall see. Because actually, gee whiz, I don't know how far back. As far as laptops are concerned, I mean, you still have desktops. They may have a VGA monitor port. But the laptops, I don't know when. For the most part, that's kind of went away for quite a while, you know, along with the RS-232 ports and IEEE printer ports and all that stuff. So, I don't know whether these... I'm guessing that the ones I have probably are the same thing that Jim already has over there, so we'll have to go another route. Anyway, as a matter of fact, I got that on my mind because he's actually kind of not where he should be with his work, because I guess this two monitor system that he uses at the office is kind of important to how he operates, and he's actually, so he's been working and doing stuff, and crunching numbers and whatever. He's got whole blocks of spreadsheet stuff and everything I was looking at yesterday. But having two monitors is important. So, you know, he can look at one thing, and he's entering data on another thing, and all that kind of stuff, and switching back and forth like takes twice as much time, so he's actually kind of behind the gun. As a matter of fact, he texted me already this morning and asked me where I was. Well, I'm not anywhere yet, but hold on, you know. And then he says, well, he says, I didn't think of it before, but I could have probably had one from Amazon here by tomorrow. And I said, well, yeah. Or you could have brought the one home from work. So. So anyway, I got that on my mind here this week.
I'm trying to remove it for a while.
My goodness. And I told you, Linda, I've been playing around with St. Patrick's Day yesterday, and she posted a whole bunch of links on Facebook with Irish songs, you know, the obligatory Bing Crosby singing something Irish. He probably released 100 Irish songs over his career. And I said, do you remember, what was it, Who Threw the Overalls and Mrs. Murphy's Chowder? She says, oh, that was one of my favorites. This morning she's got a link to that in about 5 different versions. And I remember that song. There was that one, and what was the other one? That was one of them. I can remember. When I my dad bought that record in 78. It wasn't my big Crosby, but it was who threw the overall. It fascinated me as a little kid. I'm talking about 1949 or 50 on a 78, and it's still around the house somewhere. But that song fascinated me because at that age, I think it was the first time I heard a song on a record which really was like a comedy routine.
And I can remember being fascinated that, with that tune and listening to it. It's a cool tune, too.
Anyway, I think I'm only about 10% Irish in that.
And what's your
Irish percentage? I don't know what you
what your ancestry DNA test says.
NR9PK3VEB.
I don't know, Scotch Irish, I guess. I took all those DNA tests, which were interesting, needless to say.
Like this whole
iron overload thing, it showed that I had the one gene, and of course, then the doctor's office reran it and charged Medicare $80 to run the test and to tell me
what I already knew,
that they wouldn't accept my input. But I, you know, I've done all that, and Lois is really into it. I have looked at it, but I haven't paid any attention to it, so take it from there. I actually gave Dina one of the test kits, which she sent in and got all that back, so no surprises there.
No, she doesn't have different blood types at the lowest one, so I guess it's okay.
Wasn't switched at birth, you know, that type of thing. What else was he going to say? Well, I've got some other filming coming, actually wood impregnated stuff, which I'm looking forward to doing a couple things with, a couple little designs I downloaded off the internet. And this stuff, apparently, you can stain it, you can sand it, and when you print it, it smells like wood.
Yeah, because I forget how much wood's in it, but it's a bunch.
Now, it's wood-impregnated PLA, so you can't leave it out in the sun, because it's, you know, UV-sensitive. But
your UV will degrade it, put it that way. And
so from that standpoint, it's not, you know, some utility wouldn't want to print a birdhouse out of it. But you could, I guess, but you'd have to have it inside. The, it kind of deletes the effect of the thing.
So I've got that coming, and I've got enough PETG here to last me for quite a while, and some PLA that I bought and mainly for trial and error stuff, because, like I said, it's inexpensive, and have it in a couple different colors and that type of thing. So I've got red PETG and orange, transparent, translucent, I guess a better term, and stuff like that, and bought a sale on them, bought five. And so I'm doing pretty good on filament, but I want to get some of the super strong stuff to try printing a couple things that brace and whatnot that I might use in the car. This stuff is good up to in excess of 120 degrees centigrade, so that ought to be pretty good. And, you know, from that standpoint, I'm not going to put it next to the exhaust header, but in the engine compartment, some flips and stuff like that on the TR6 and what have you on the Porsche and so on and so forth.
It may work better, and Lord knows it's stronger with the carbon fiber filaments in it.
The question I have to find out, like a lot of these ones, like the metal impregnated
filament and stuff like that, you have to use a hardened nozzle or a ruby nozzle, and I have a ruby nozzle here, 0.4.
The ruby nozzle, and you have to treat that with tender loving care, and there's a video that teaches you how to install it, because like most things like that, you don't get one free drop, and you don't get one free overtorque, and you'll crack the ruby, and then that's the end of that, but the ruby nozzle will last a long, 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 long time, even compared to the brass ones, which I typically use for everything, or the hardened steel, which I may order a couple of those just for grins to have here if that would work more than the... I just put the ruby nozzle in and print with it with the carbon fiber, because then I know it'll be okay, because you can use the stainless steel impregnated filament with that. So I bought that, I bought a 0.25 nozzle, too, that I have never put on the machine to do some real fine prints of some things, and I may stick that on someday and just do some things with it to see how long it takes and how fine the print is, but I'm finding that this 0.6 nozzle produces everything I need of more than acceptable quality. You can tell that, you know, if you hold the 0.4 up the print up to the next to the 0.6, you can see the difference. But for what I'm doing for brackets and God knows what out, birdhouses and stuff like that, who cares? You know, you can't really tell. So, and it whacks some time off of the printing, so that makes a difference too. I put the 0.4 back on, and I have to go back in and fiddle with the retraction rates and the retraction distances for the Sununu. HUNLU is the brand of filament I use for almost everything. If they make it, I'll buy it from them. It's Chinese, of course, but their tolerances seem better, and I've had real good fortune with it. The other thing, and I may have mentioned that, I have found out, put the print in the drying machine. Doesn't matter if you got it in a pail full of desiccant or not. Put it in the drying machine, let it sit overnight for at least a couple hours or something like that to make sure that filament is really good and dry. And I have learned the hard way that that really makes a difference in the ease of printing and how it comes out of the machine and a few other odds and ends. It's like anything else, John. You got to practice with it and play with it and get gain experience on it before really understand how to use it. And this thing's got a ton of variables. If this blows over, you guys come visit. I'll show you this thing. And it's, like I said, it's a solution looking for a problem. K3VEB, NR9P.
NR9P, K3VEB.
Got lots of those.
heck.
There's two or three guys on the Breakfast Club that are heavily into 3D printing. I'm sure you know them and have talked to them about it. They usually have some kind of a comment.
And you usually
do then about their exploit service in 3D.
You know, your wood filament thing. If you did want to do something and have it outside, there's probably something that you can take today with some kind of a varnishy thing or something that's UV blocking. Dave had a spray that he used to spray his color prints with. You know, because if you had it, there were some like in the window stuff with color prints used to paint tremendously. In 2 or 3 years, they would be degraded significantly. And he had some kind of a spray. Of course, being in the studio there, it wasn't even in a can. He had some kind of a mixture that he had in a spray gun with the compressed air. He had his printing equipment above the garage there in the later years, and the compressor was in the garage area and ran the line upstairs. But anyway, that's what it did. It blocked UV rays. It was specifically designed for that, and it was totally clear. So anyway, there's probably something out there. If you would could something with that, and maybe not hang it where it was in direct sunlight every day, but underneath an eave or something, there's probably something out there to do that. Anyway, and I've mentioned 2 dozen times that 3D router, because I wanted to play with something like that, because you were playing with a 3D printer. And I actually went out, I was going to buy it, I went out 2 or 3 days ago, and I searched back through 2 months worth of Facebook postings, and I can't find it. Well, maybe I need to go back another month, but I don't know how Facebook works anyway. I don't know whether those things stay there or not or what. But I found other things, similar things, a 3D writer somewhere, but other things that are ridiculously low priced, like a combination milling machine, metal milling machine lathe for $189 or something like that.
It looks just like the ones in Harbor Freight, and they're
$695. I don't know what's going on there.
So then, well, I couldn't find it on Facebook, and I thought that I had, when I had run across it before on Facebook, I thought I had made a notepad entry with URLs and stuff like that. I couldn't find that on the computer.
So I said, well, I'll do a search on all the C drive, and I put the search word in router. Well, that was a mistake. I got about 300 hits because we're talking about computer routers.
Yeah, I still haven't found the source for that. I guess the next step is maybe I'll go out and do a internet search for, I don't know, 3D routers under $100. Maybe that would find something.
Anyway, now I kind of got interested in playing with that. Now I can't find the darn thing. See, I should have struck while the iron was hot. But never do today what you could put off to next month. And Glenda's getting ready to leave here. It's her Wednesday, and even though the schools are closed, there's still a bunch of stuff involving the kids in one thing or another. Hold on a minute. Let me yell them at me. Let me see what she says. Stand by. I got an update.
School's closed, but there's still, amongst those five kids, there's still three of them that have to go places.
So all that, or some of that's still on.
Some of us been canceled, but
she's getting ready to leave now because she's taking her dad to the doctor.
she never has any rest from this,
from the duties.
And it's sticky.
I don't know whether I mentioned that last time or not. He put up something around his hip the day before yesterday to the point where it's so painful that he has to go see the doctor. So we're off to do that this morning, I guess.
And he hasn't a clue what's going on, and
whether it's something muscular or arthritic or what it is.
It seems to be more in a muscle up near his hip than it is a joint, so we'll see how that works out. And, of course, they might have to wander off into the last place you want to go at a time like this, and that's a hospital or a doctor's office.
Somebody's going to carry something in here and kill me.
And I haven't left the house.
Can't win to lose it.
Other than yesterday, I forget where I
went. Where did I go yesterday? I don't know where I went. Went to do a couple of things.
Well, I was out to Jim's place.
And then he was busy, and he says, I was going in the morning yesterday, and he says, how about making it after one? So I've been meaning to go visit Alan to see his antenna array and whatnot. So I was already out of the house, so I stopped by there, and he and I had BS for an hour. He's having success with this antenna array he's got there, and it works, but boy, it don't look very pretty, but it's working. And he is of the same philosophy as I am. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, so he's just going with it. Anyway. And the next ham test is canceled and all that kind of stuff. So. The gun bash is canceled. I got to practice my thumb twiddling. NR9TKA3VEB.
So I've been multitasking, looking through the Dell computer, and I find that there's an urgent BIOS update for this Dell that I bought before Christmas. So I need to go into them and look at the versions in the computer, and updating the BIOS always gives me the willies. But this came out the 20th of March, 18th of March. So I think that's today. So it says urgent on it. And there's another one down here that's urgent, but this one is really urgent, I guess. So we'll have to take a look at this BIOS and see what's going on. But it's specific for my machine. Boy, things have gotten a lot easier, I'll tell you. at least with Dell. I don't know about the other ones, but I tell, you know, I bring up the support assist and it says, enter the service tag for your computer or here, or hit detect my machine. And I did detect, and it came up with the service tag and all the other information associated with it. And then, you know, go check for updates and stuff like that.
This is obviously what I need to do because it's got some other stuff in here. Like, I've been having trouble with the microphone.
I can run a hardware test, the microphone works fine. I try to use the thing, and it doesn't. I got the headphones working, and I've tried both audio ports here, and different selections and what have you. I cannot get the microphone to work, and I want to use this machine for echolink. Can't, won't work. I don't know why. I haven't been able to get it to work, and run into the sound recording test stuff in Windows, and it pukes it up, too, so it's not working. But I go to the hardware test at Dell, and it's working fine. So I don't know what's going on. I'll hack away. One thing about buying this through Costco is I have a 2-year warranty on the thing and 2 years of tech services as provided by Costco, which I thought was pretty cool. And that's one of the reasons I bought the machine from. And that is the main reason that the price was right. They had $150 off in the store. And I went to the store and picked it up and sent it in the cart and brought it home. And ordered a monitor from them, too, but that was shipped to me. And then the other monitor I bought from somebody else. It's a Philips. The big one is actually a Dell monitor. And I like Dell stuff. I mean, that's one I have out in my shop that I've taken out of service. I've had since I don't know when. I think before I went to Iraq in 2003, and I've never had a lick of problems with it other than it's starting to slow way down, you know. So I backed up everything on the hard drive, and I'm going to take the hard drive of it and wave goodbye to it as I take it to the landfill and I put it in the stack pile of stuff over there to ship to China or wherever they ship computers to go to die. And I've got two more out there, but you've heard this story before, and you might suspect mine fails in comparison to yours. And I got your note that the 5 1/4-inch drivey thing didn't work, and I'm assuming that that's the only machine you have available to try to see if with a 5 1/4-inch drive in it that might work. So I will tell my friend that this plan failed and we'll have to do something different. K3VEP and 19.
Yeah, PKA3VEB. Well, there's still a possibility here because I do have old 386 IBMs that's got a 5 1/4 drive in, which haven't been turned on for 20 years, and I actually have not got around to dragging one of them out of my mom's basement to see if I can do anything there. I guess it's still on the list. I kind of would want to do it anyway just to see if I do have a 5 1/4-inch drive that actually will run. I don't know. I've got one for my Commodore 64. But that's a different format. So, anyway, I haven't given up on that, but it went way down on the to-do list, I'm afraid. I thought it was going to be a zero problem thing with that desktop that Frank gave me some years ago, but when you know that drive won't work. But there was problems with, I don't know what's going on in that computer, there was problems with another drive, too. And they come straight off the motherboard, and there may be something stuck on the motherboard, which is irreparable. The other thing is, I don't have any, but never did have any, but there was such a thing at one time as, you know, external 5 1/4 drive. You get plugged into whatever, like probably the RS-232 port or something. I don't know that I have any such thing. So anyway. I don't recall how pressing the need was from your buddy there, but might run across something. And your microphone, by the way, Dell in general, boy, Dell has taken over what IBM used to be as far as market share in the computers. Any office you go into, any business anywhere,
was almost all Dell in recent years, or for quite a few years. For whatever reason, I don't know, I guess they're doing something that people like on a lot of different aspects, but they've become kind of the standard. Indeed, that's what the Jim's doing. PA Water, and every office is going down. And yeah, the microphone, that's an odd thing. And
the first thing I thought, well,
don't fool with EchoLink, because it works otherwise.
I would have tried to build in Microsoft recording app, and
you have done that. So it's kind of a puzzlement.
Of course, the next thing is try another microphone. So you've done that too. That's kind of an odd thing.
And your updates, especially a BIOS update, that scares the devil out of me. My general philosophy on that is I don't run any updates until they've been out for at least 6 months. And 99 times out of 100, when they say, this is an emergency update, it almost always has to do with security. They found a bug somewhere that allows the hackers to get into things. And Microsoft, about 5 years ago, was famous for that. I can't remember what it was. Well, at the time, a new operating system, I don't know if it was 7, just 8, 9, 10, or whatever it was. But they had this emergency security update. You must run it. Yada, yada, yada. The world's coming to an end. And millions of people around the world run it. And it had a worse problem than the thing it was replacing. And then, I don't know, weeks later, Microsoft said, you know that thing we told you you had to do for the world coming to an end? Well, if you haven't done it, don't do it. Do this instead. So they're scary. Well, so much for that, I guess. But anyway, don't do it yet. Research. Yeah, that microphone thing. I think there's only one microphone input there, so you don't have any options. So anyway, let's see here. What else is going on? Well, the breakfast club this morning. I was up early and was even, the band was awful. The Rich was just barely above the noise for 45 minutes. And I delayed even trying to check in. I finally checked in. He could hear me. And then 5 minutes before the net officially started at 6:25, the band, somebody threw a switch somewhere, propagation gods, and bang, Rich was all of a sudden 20 over plus. Yeah, but that's the way 80 meters is.
It's kind of a funny sounding thing this morning, though. It was like,
if you've heard sometimes, oftentimes it's on higher bands where the propagation is different, but the propagation is practically nil, but people running big power, they come through anyway, but they have a strange sound to the audio because it's not a normal, quote-unquote, bounce off the ionosphere. It's kind of just a there's too much power here. It has to reflect off of something. So you can hear it. It kind of sounded that way this morning, so whatever that means. And Arno wasn't on this morning. He had some kind of an electrical problem with his house and couldn't get the radios running. So I don't know what that was about.
That was probably highly disappointing to him.
MR9PKA3VEB.
Yeah, okay, John.
Well, we'll see what goes on about this stuff. And oh, by the way, the stuff outside, all you got to do is put a coat of paint on it. And that will work, and it will protect it. In fact, those things I sent to you for the different type of RG8s are PLA, and I should reprint all those in PETG and resend them to you, which is not UV sensitive. And I will probably do that, because otherwise you have to spray paint those ones I sent you. I don't know how sturdy those are, but the PETG is a lot sturdier, and I may take that and reprint it and mail you a few when I get a chance. One of the things, I'm out of number 10 business envelopes, so what I do during the week is I take and throw things in the Amazon cart. Envelopes.
normally I just stop when we're in town and pick them up at Staples.
I put them in the Amazon cart. I mean, I ordered some socks that are coming in this week. So I put,
when you say, well, we need to get this, unless it's food or something,
I put it into, put it into the Amazon cart. So at the end of the Amazon cart deal, on Sundays, I pay for it and off it goes, assuming there's enough in there. And that works out pretty well, because I'm not ordering frivolous things. I'm ordering what I need that I would normally pick up at the store and during this time and date. And I think the packages showing up are probably a bit more secure than wandering through the store. At least that's my opinion, for whatever that's worth. But, you know, it's just what I've been doing. Okay, I'm a Prime member, so the shipping's free. And I tell them to deliver it all on Thursday, okay? Well, they say, we'll deliver it all on Thursday and get fewer boxes. And that's great. The trouble is they don't do it. Like I told them, deliver everything on Thursday. They said everything will be delivered on Thursday. Some of it showed up yesterday. Some of it's showing up today. And the rest of it's showing up tomorrow. Now, neither two of these 3 days are not Thursday. And I don't understand why they say make it an Amazon Day delivery when they don't do it that way. K3VEB, Inter 19.
Yeah, Inter 19, K3VEB. I've never done that. I don't know how it works, but my guess would be, number one, their product failed for whatever reason, but I would guess it would have something to do with coming from different warehouses scattered over who knows where, which may cause a problem. By the way, talking about Amazon, I saw on the news the other night with the uptick in Amazon orders because of the Wahoo virus. They are going out and hiring an additional 100,000 warehouse workers. 100,000. That's remarkable. I think Amazon, if I'm not mistaken, you probably know this, I think that's the largest, Walmart, I think, was the largest employer in the country. We'll have to see after they hire another 100,000 people. Maybe Amazon will get that on that list. I don't know. That is a lot of people. And that's in addition to, I don't know how many they have. Walmart's some ridiculous number, too. I don't know how many people they have. I think it's like a million or something like that. And we talk about back in the heyday of the steel industry, how many people were employed in the steel industry. I'm not sure that that ever reached the numbers we're talking about these retailers. Unfortunately, I think it's mostly unfortunately we went from a manufacturing society to a consumer society, and Lord help us all. And has anybody went and looked at their IRA lately?
Not me.
I am interested in I mentioned this the other day, that movement that Voya did online into less wallable areas 2-3 months ago. I wonder if that's going to, that'll save me. I refuse to go look right now. And then, like I think I said this before, too, that now, maybe in a month or so, they need to move everything back to aggressive and pick it all up. I think the one mistake Trump's made so far with the coronavirus problem is he didn't padlock and chain shut the stock exchange in New York City. Everybody go home. We'll pick this up next month. Gee, I wonder if he did something like that, what would happen? That's been done. I don't know when, but was that back in World War II? I don't know what. There's some history of things like that. And lo and behold, things still chugged along. NR9PKA3DEB.
Well, after Black Monday in 1987, they shut it for several days because they lost track of all their paperwork. They couldn't figure out what all had been done. And they closed it then for several days.
I'm trying to think, if, and I'm going to use the wrong term here, I think the War Powers Act, it's actually a Cold War area thing that Trump could invoke, where he can mandate that the manufacturers switch over to making the things that we need. Lois was telling me they have done that already in England, that they have changed some of the manufacturing, told them over there that you are going to make masks and respirators over cars or whatever the heck they were making to start with, probably not cars. And, you know, they did that in World War II. They said, you're not making cars anymore. Will Oran up there in Ford, you're making airplanes. You know, that type of thing. B-26s or whatever they made there. B-25s, I forget. But he can do that. You know, if you need more respirators, he's avoided doing that. And I can kind of understand why. But the thing is that if he invokes that act, which he can do, I don't know if you need Congress's approval or anything, then he can take and mandate the certain manufacturers go over. I have an opinion on some of this stuff. I believe that there are certain things that, and I will deal with one topic only, and that is drugs. I believe there are certain drugs that we should mandate that we maintain a manufacturing capability in the United States and treat that as an essential industry, an essential, you know, war-related, defense-related, what-have-you industry. And maybe we have to pay extra for our antibiotics, but at least we'd be able to get them, because one of the things I'm hearing is that, you know, the supply disruption, you know, our common blood pressure medicines and stuff like that, we might not be able to get, because they all come from China or India and Ireland, places like that. But the thing is, you can't get them. And I have a considered opinion. You know, we can't make we have no steel forging capacity to make a reactor vessel in the United States anymore. None. And these big transformers out here, that we can't make any of them either. They all come from overseas. And if we ever have the big solar flare that wipes everything out, we're going to be in the dark a long, long time. And I think I told you that the contract was given to the city of Winchester to develop how would you handle 2 years without electricity. I'm going to be real interested in reading that report when it's done. KE3VE, we talk about Black Swan incident, NR19.
Yeah, K3VEB, yep. Well, I think on the War Powers Act, whatever it was, and manufacturing, I don't think in the case of these things like masks, I'm not sure that is even necessary, because the demand is so skyrocketing high.
Therefore, money is to be made. I think the manufacturers are doing everything they can.
And there has been some already that work in the business of doing IA that have picked it up. But I'm not sure that
there needs to be a determined move from the White House on it.
It depends on what happens as time goes by.
What was the other thing you were talking about?
The Woodbine thing.
Go with the other
thing. What was the other item you said besides that, Dean? Go ahead.
Steel forging.
Oh, yeah. And, I agree. Of course, I agree 100%. And, like, drug manufacturing in China and some of this other stuff. That should never happen in the first place. But you had that X number of years or a decade and a half or whatever was, you know, from the business standpoint, everything made sense to like trying to do those things. Well, that should never have happened. There's certain things that should stay here.
I don't care what you have to do to do it. You can subsidize them.
And there you go. You can't, we should be building new plants, and we're not doing that. And if we do it, we can't even do it in-house. It's insane.
I didn't know about the transformers.
Who all gets transformers besides Westinghouse? I don't know. I guess they don't, I know.
And who is doing it? I don't know.
That's a pretty big, heavy item to ship over here. Brother, those transformers down at
backfield down there. I believe they just come in by that railroad spur, which all went away. And I think that was mentioned one time when I was still down there. If we ever had to replace it,
we'd have to, you'd have to get a barge, and we'd have to build overhead crane things to get it off.
Yeah, that would take a while.
But they're still down there percolating around. The one time I was down in China, one of those,
whoever was in charge, absolutely positively would not let me go in because I wouldn't take my wedding ring off. And I said, well, we got a problem here. I want to go in.
Just for curiosity thing.
And I stuck my hand out and I said, if you can get that wedding ring off my hand, I'll take it off.
Well, I wouldn't have anyway, but and I knew what the results would be, and
I satisfied him that when that was put on there, I weighed 129 pounds, and now I weigh 229 pounds, and it ain't coming off. So he agreed, and technically, he and I were both in violation, but I went in anyway. So I got to see the inside of the church. I was a little bit surprised that the core itself was as small as it was compared to the outside housing. I don't know, what was there, 10 gazillion gallons of oil inside the thing? So, anyway.
Well, I'm about done.
I'll go off and do what I should have done today. And, I need to make a coffee stop anyway.
So, back to you.
And let's see here. This this be what be this? This be Wednesday. And I guess you're going to have no reason not to be on Sunday. Let me know on that. And we'll move along. I haven't heard word from Frank or Linda what the results of that heart doctor was yesterday. I have to query them on that. I hope it was come out the way Frank was hoping it was. It was all a lot of to do about nothing. So anyway, knock on wood. Over to you, MR9P, KA3DEB.
Yeah, okay, John. All right, I'll talk to you Sunday. We'll work it from there. And I've got a local emergency planning committee conference call today at 1 o'clock. And I'll be running the net tonight, and I'm probably running into town today, maybe. Yeah, I'm getting Lois to stop with a case of wine and fish food. Don't go there. And her hair color. That's assuming her prescription shows up today. If not today, we'll do it tomorrow. And yeah, I'm part of the local emergency planning committee here. Hams are. They wanted to have an emergency meeting. They've locked down the EOC, so unless you really have business in there, they don't want you in. But if something happens where we need to set up the amateur radio station, then we'll have business in there. We have the VHF, UHF continuously, but then we're working on getting an NBIS HF antenna. So, at any rate, we will do that. And then Monday, I belong to the Medical Reserve Corps here, and we're going to have a meeting also by telephone. So they've set up all those conference calls, and we'll make that work. We were to have a ham group meeting. I hesitate to call it a plus. A ham group meeting at the EOC tonight, and we put that on hold. So, because we can't get in, and there's no reason for us all to get together. Maybe we could Skype it all or something. I don't know, but we haven't done that. All right, I will let you go, and take care of yourself in regards to Glenda and all the rest of that type of stuff. And everybody stay healthy, and we'll catch up with you on Sunday. KA3VEB, NR9P, 73, bye-bye.
Okay, Dean, we'll see you. This is KA3VEB, 73.
Anyways, hang on just a second. Let me set this up.
Gotten a flu shot, or otherwise you run the risk of catching the flu and passing away. So this is just, there's something going on here, Harry. Something going on as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what it is. You can't seem to get a handle on what they're doing officially. Why are they shutting everything down like this? It's just absolutely bizarre in my thinking. Okay, I don't understand it. There's some other countries that are having some problems with it and so forth. Italy for one, and a couple of places over in the other side of the Pacific and whatnot. But even then, they're not all as bad as many of these seasonal flus that we've had, of which they've never done anything about. You go to the hospital and whatnot, really that sick and whatnot, and they take care of you and so forth and so on. But the only plausible explanation I heard as to why they're doing this is because somehow or another, and I have not been able to confirm it, this particular virus seems to be much more contagious, seemingly. Okay, I haven't heard anybody actually say that, but my thinking is the reaction is because it's more contagious and whatnot, and more people can get it. And the explanation from a couple of different doctors that I listened to on the radio and stuff like that said that the hospital number of hospital beds available, to treat these people that come down with this particular virus, are just not going to be there if this turns into a so-called full-blown epidemic. Okay, so and so far it hasn't. You look at these numbers and you say to yourself, compared to H1N1 and SARS and just your ordinary old seasonal flu, these numbers are very light. Okay, and they're really not all that bad, relatively speaking, compared to seasonal flus and stuff like that overseas. I don't know. There's something going on here that they're not telling you about. And, it's tearing the market apart. The markets are crashing and stuff like that. I got stuff in the market right now, and I'm wondering what the heck to do with it and whatnot. I've taken a few losses and so forth. Not that bad. But nevertheless, this is even worse. Today, I just looked at it before we signed on, just after we signed on and stuff like that. And the futures were down 1,000 points or something like that. And I forgot what I was going to tell you. the Dow is down to 19,000. And change and whatnot, down from a high of close to 29,000 here just a couple of weeks ago, they're just taking it all out, and I can't quite for the life of me understand why they're doing it. And of course, all this inconvenience, with the closings and all of the other things that are going on, the governor here, Harry, came out and said, you can't have an assembly of people greater than 50. In other words, if you have some get-together that you want to go to, it's illegal. Now, if there's going to be more than 50, 49 might be okay.
I guess that's all right.
But 50 can. And he just dropped that down from the week before from 250, okay? So, this stuff is a joke. we've had, as I mentioned to you earlier, had two weddings coming up, okay? My nephew and my niece's daughter, okay? Both of them have had to be canceled because they were coming up one the end of this month and one in mid-April, okay? So, all this stuff going on account of this, and there's no explanation for it. To me, all you do is hear all day long on the radio and on the television, Corona, 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 and stuff. And, the media is putting the fear of God in everybody over this thing, okay? When, to my analytical thinking, you might say, There's no real reason for it, at least not at this point. K3IDS, K3IDS, thank you.
Now, this is K3IDX with K3IHS for ID. Well, the Fed, I guess the Fed's just about done all it can. It lowered the interest rates to zero and then pumped almost $1 trillion worth of equity into the market. That's about as drastic a measure as I ever seen. And it went down. Then went up yesterday temporarily, but then it went down again. And it's so weird. Everything is taking a hit except T-bills. And T-bills, you get nothing. It's paying nothing to put your money. And not only that, gold went down. Everything's gone down. Normally, traditionally, when the market's reeling like this, gold goes through the roof. But gold took a nosedive, and silver. All commodities, oil, everything. It's like what the traditional patterns do not apply in this case. Everything's off. The gold took a bit of a rally yesterday, but so did the market. So, I don't know. It doesn't seem to make any sense. As far as some of these policies in these foreign countries, I was listening to Limbaugh, the guy that's substituting. Italy proclaimed the leadership, so-called, determined that that all this the skittishness about being around Orientals was racist. And so they had a campaign over it. Italy was relatively free of this. And they had a campaign where it was hug a Chinaman or an Oriental. And they would have, they put like signs on it, and these people, and they read something to the effect, I'm a person, not a virus, hug me. And of course, a lot of these people were around hugging them and that and this and this. And then, boom, it exploded, the problem did. And overnight, there were 300 people that died from it. And there's about 100 a day over there dying. Before, they were relatively free of it, but the love bugs came out, and they decided to hug one. Go out and hug them. No spacing at all there. Go up and hug them. And show it you're not a racist. And that's what they did, and they're the worst country afflicted with this, at least we know of. Now they've got a full-blown screaming epidemic over there. And it looks like this policy might have been certainly the catalyst to help it along. K3IDX, back to K3IHS.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of stupid reactions to all this stuff, you know. Some goofy ones like you're talking about, and other ones where people are hunkering down and you know, locking themselves in their house and stuff like that. And it's completely crazy. I never saw anything like this. It's unbelievable. We were over what day was that? Monday. We went over to get some breakfast and whatnot. And, you know, there's a place over there in Westminster that has a really super-duper, if you like them, I guess, but I do, okay? And for breakfast, they have a nice three-egg omelet, you know, Western omelet, you know, with sausage in your ham or whatever, and peppers and onions and stuff like that, cheese rolled on, you know, it's really, at least to my palate, is really good. And we went over there, and you know, the place was not crowded, but it wasn't you know sparse either. You know, people in there eating normal crowd, you might say. And from there, we went up. We had to pick up a couple of items, you know, from the food store, you know. So we went up and went in there, and there was nothing going on in there. There wasn't a lot of people. Of course, Monday morning, I guess a lot of people working or whatever. But there was no toilet paper.
They didn't have a roll of toilet paper anyway. Myself, what in the world is going on with this people?
You know, it's like you have some snowstorm where you go out, you buy milk, bread, and toilet paper. You know? In this particular case, you know, they had milk and they had bread, but they didn't have any toilet paper. You know, this is just so bizarre. It's just absolutely beyond the pale. I just don't understand it. You know, it's just crazy. And it's all media-driven as far as I'm concerned. You know, plus the government seems to be involved in it to some great extent. You know, and the only, like I say, as I said before, the only reason I say that, you know, that this is bizarre is because in all the past serious infections, you know, from the various flus, H1N1s and SARS and the seasonal stuff and so forth and so on, you know, and nothing was ever done. Nothing. You know, there was no particular strain taken by the government. The media never said much about it. You know? And occasionally they mentioned, you know, that this particular strain is a
more contagious strain and whatnot.
You get your flu shot, you know, you might regret it, you know. But that was just about the extent of it. All of a sudden we got this thing here. And if you look at the data around the world, and particularly here in Canada and stuff, North America and whatnot, it's nowhere near like the regular seasonal stuff and some of these other SARS and, you know, the ones that have a name to them and so forth. They're nowhere near that thing, okay? And people might say, well, that's because of the extent they're going to try to keep it under control. Well, perhaps, okay? I'm sure that has something to do with it. But even if you did not, it doesn't strike me that it would be any worse than any of these other ones where we've got tens of thousands of people, you know, hundreds of thousands across the world and whatnot. And, you know, the number of cases together was in the hundreds of thousands, you know? So, you know,
I just don't get it.
I'm sorry, but I can't cut it. And it's funny because I've been in touch with a couple of my sisters and whatnot. They're telling me to be careful and do this and do that, you know, particularly when I told them we went out and had breakfast. And, well, you shouldn't be doing that. You can't blah, 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 you know. Well, they have had one case, and to date, they've had one case of one person having this coronavirus in this county, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, why would they be worried about that, you know? Up here in this particular county, you know, where for all intents and purposes, nobody has it, okay? They haven't had a total of 43 cases here in this state on Monday, okay? That was the latest I got. My sister told me that, and I looked it up, and they said 41 or 43, one or the other. And you got 6,800,000, residents in this, in the state population. You know, dividing that out, multiplying it times 100, it comes to something like .00007. Okay? I mean, it's so far away from even 0.1%, it's statistically, it's insignificant. Okay? So, I'm just at my wit's end with this stuff. It's stupid. It's causing all kinds of problems and so forth. And in my opinion, unnecessarily. Okay? So, yeah, just the way it is. So, what else do we have here? The only thing I've been doing here this past week is trimming up trees and yards, and, you know, in the yard, and, you know, shrubs and that sort of stuff. You know, and got my grapes all pruned out and all that sort of stuff like that, and cleaning out my garage. In which, interestingly enough, Harry, I found a CB radio, just a little mobile CB radio from Radio Shack. Just a very simple one, nothing special on it. Volume control, squelch control, and a two-digit channel readout, you know, that you press a button to raise or lower it and whatnot. And it looks like it's brand new. I can't figure out where I even got it. And it was out there in one of my lockers. And so I brought it in here, hooked it up and whatnot. And it works, you know. I heard a couple of conversations and stuff like that, but only on one channel. Apparently, a couple guys like channel 32.
and they get on it, so in the evening and whatever, but no other channels have anything on it, so the only thing I can figure is nobody can TV radio any longer.
That may be a very few people and stuff, but you know, from this point, you know, that's about all I've really been doing. And like I say, we went shopping, just a quick shop, over to Westminster's Monday, and did find toilet paper, which we don't need in any case, but not too much in terms of crowds or anything like that. So anyway, things over there seem to be relatively normal and whatnot at this point. So we don't know what's going to happen here. The markets are down over 1,000 points, 1,200 points, something like that. And like I say, the ridiculous market route as far as the Dow down to 19,000.
It's lost 10,000 points at this point.
K3IDS from K3IDS. Thank you, Ray.
This is KA3IDX with KA3IHS 4ID. Well, to address why the panic, from what I understand, this particular strain is extremely contagious. Not just a little bit, but extremely. That's number one. And the rate of infection is exponential. Now, you've heard that old saw about what would you rather have, $1,000 or a penny a day, and double it every day at the end of for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, you're talking about multiple millions of dollars just by doing that. That's exponential progression. Now, that's what they say it is. It's an exponential progression. And that's why it starts off slow, but it really, really gets out of hand after a little while. And it don't take long. That's the way it is with an exponential progression. And then there's the factor of the longevity, to how this virus lives outside of the host. It's up to 3 or 4 hours. If someone sneezes on a surface, that virus is supposed to, and I don't know, I'm just going by what the so-called experts say, that virus is supposed to be active and can be transferred up to 3 to 4 hours, and some say a day or so. The same way when it's airborne, it lasts and lasts. And therefore, if someone even has it, it's almost like they're putting a vapor trail out. And that's the nature, I think, of a lot of the panic. And the severity of it is supposed to be extreme. According to what I've heard, I don't know. And they're saying that anybody with even anybody my age, 70 up, it's almost 100% fatal. If you got any kind of infraction of your immune system at all, that's so. The durability of the virus and the longevity of the virus, it can just spread very, very, very rapidly, just like what happened in Italy. It's now a total epidemic over there. I mean, it's they're having to shut the country down. They're getting, as of yesterday, they were getting 300 a day, 300 a night. And with a very, very furious type. So I don't know, Denny. I agree with you at first, but When you consider if what they are saying, that this is like an exponential progression, you can understand. It can go through the whole population in a very short time if it's exponential. Like I say, it's like that old saw about doubling a penny every day for 30 days. And next thing you know, you got $3 or $4 million in 30 days. Just do the math and you see. And that's what they're, you know, pretty much saying that it is. And so that's what maybe what all the excitement's over. And don't put it past that certain groups aren't trying to use the hysteria and add to it to make the president and his administration look bad. Although I listened to the man deliver his address with all the steps that he's taking, and to me it is very, very disciplined. It's measured and it's directed perfectly. He's got the coordination of industry, all the people who are immediate in the medical industry, the manufacturer. He's trying to coordinate all their efforts. And I don't know what these blowhards that are going around running for president think they would do more than that. But they, you know, it's easy to snipe. But in my opinion, I think the man is doing an excellent job in trying to get this thing coordinated. In addition to that, he is trying to address the economic impact that it's having. Now, I don't know about this. Giving everybody $1,000, you're supposed to get a $1,000 check in the mail. I don't know about that, but that's one of the proposals. K3IDX, about the K3I check.
Yeah, Rod, yeah, I've heard about the $1,000 check and whatnot. I don't know whether that's to everybody or to those people who have been selectively chosen because they've been laid off or lost a job or whatever. I'm not sure there was some talk about who was going to get that $1,000. And I don't know whether it's been decided upon. You know, I tell you, I agree with, generally agree with what the president's doing to do all this kind of stuff. However, you know, when you get CNN and CNBC and Dana Bash and some of these other networks on those two channels are, you know, agreeing and saying that the president's doing a great job. Generally speaking, whatever they say he's doing is good is probably bad for you and me. But that's what they're saying. They're saying he's doing a pretty good job, and maybe even they are willing to admit it, you know, honestly, because they're afraid of catching it too. So, you know, you know, it's hard to figure them out for sure. You know, you don't know exactly what the is going on. I have heard about the longevity of the virus outside of a host, you know, on a doorknob or something like that, or some other place, and being in some number of hours, which is really a little unusual because when I had a microbiology class when I was in college and stuff, and I've since, you know, seen it over the years later, most viruses are only good for just a few minutes outside of a host or in the dry air or something like that. They may hang around if they're in a solution or something, you know, sneeze and droplets go out, and those droplets don't evaporate right away. You know, that and a virus is in those droplets and stuff like that. You know, the virus will only last, you know, as long as the droplet doesn't evaporate and stuff. So for 3 or 4 hours, I'm assuming that's 3 or 4 hours, obviously outside of any medium, you know, that might otherwise keep any other virus alive and whatnot. So I have heard that, okay? And I have not heard, and this is part of my problem, I have not heard what you just told me about the contagiousness of it, okay, that it's any more contagious than any other virus. I mean, it may be more contagious they all have a certain amount of contagion, okay? Some are more contagious than others and stuff. This may be one of the big ones, as you say, but I haven't specifically heard that. What I have heard is that the elderly, particularly those with some sort of compromising health issues, you know, emphysema or some sort of lung condition or something like that, because this thing is mostly a respiratory virus and whatnot, that those people generally from 60 on up are very susceptible to this, particularly, like I say, if they have another health issue and whatnot. But in fact, they were blaring it all over the radio the other day, yesterday or something, about Illinois. Illinois had its first death, okay? And they were saying how going on about how terrible this virus is, you know, it caused the death of this lady. They didn't even gave her name. You know, I thought that was a lot serious. And she was 63 years old, and she had underlying health issues, okay? And she died, and they're going on, oh my gosh, it was terrible, terrible, terrible. I haven't heard of anyone, maybe somebody, in the normal population of younger people, maybe 60 or less and whatnot, having a problem. Most of them, most kids and stuff like that, catch it, and then you got the sniffles and the fever and sweats and all that kind of stuff. And they, after about a week or so, it's over. Okay, so it's apparently no more dangerous than most any other flu. Okay, or flu virus. So this one is apparently, like I say, worse for the elderly. And whether it's more contagious or not, I'm not sure. I haven't heard that. And that's part of my problem. I don't know where you're getting to. But I haven't really heard that, but based on the actions the government, the states, and stuff like that are taking, making the assumption here that it is more contagious, okay? Otherwise, it would be gone to all of these ends, to make sure people are self-quarantined not going out, getting in big crowds, and stuff like that. Interestingly enough, Harry, it's spring break, okay? And all the students, high school, college, you name it, they're all down there in Florida, okay, for spring break. On the beach down there in Daytona and Miami or wherever the heck it all is, okay? And they're just having a big time. And they interviewed a couple of them. They say, Corona, who's worried about Corona? They're all down there having a ball, drinking and carrying on and surfing and doing whatever else they do. So there's just a lot of them that don't take any of this stuff seriously. And my suspicion is that if they contract the corona, that they'll probably be feverish for maybe a week to 10 days and stuff like that. It'll all go away and they'll be right back doing whatever they like to do. So apparently the virus is not particularly dangerous, at least from what I can gather, to younger people. It's got these elderly people that have respiratory problems, emphysema or whatever the case may be, okay? But that's true of any flu that you get. If you're up in age, 65, 75, 85 years old, and you got respiratory problems and you come down with the flu, your chances of surviving it are greatly diminished, okay? So this is my problem. I'm not seeing that big a difference in this kind of in this stuff, other than, like I say, the contagion, the fact that it can be passed on so easily from one person to the next and so forth might be the only issue that I have not really seen in print anywhere or being reported, okay? But you can infer from the actions that the government's taken and so forth, very likely. But in terms of danger from all the other parts of the population, right.
This is K3IDX with K3IHS 4ID. Yeah, from what I see, I agree. I tend to agree with you. But given what I was suggesting was the scenario that they are presenting for all this hyper activity and shutting things down and everything, and the reason behind it. That's what they're saying. And that's the logic that they are presenting for it. The primary, I think, is the longevity outside the host. Whereas you come by a surface that a person that's infected was sitting at hours ago and picked the thing right up, and now you got it. I think that's pretty peculiar with this particular strain. And that among other things is one of the basis. And of course, as an example of Italy, where they went right in the face of it in the name of love and understanding and non-racism, they went out and made a point to show that love conquers all. And apparently it didn't. Matter of fact, the guy on Limbaugh said it was non-racist unto death. And there sounds like a killing field over there. 300 a night dying, that's pretty serious. Especially when you consider the population. So, but remember, they had the program of hug your buddy. And I guess they flew in the face of it, and they were going to show that love conquers all. K3IDX, but K3IHS.
Well, Harry, there's a lot of really foolish people out there, okay? You see them every day, you hear about them every day, and you wonder just what's going through their head, okay? But, you know, with the supposed seriousness of this particular disease, you know, to put yourself in harm's way by doing something stupid like they did. Now, I haven't heard about this. You know, what you're telling me is the first I've heard of it. So. But to put yourself in harm's way by doing that, okay, is not exactly the smartest thing in the whole world to do. In fact, I would say it's probably a pretty stupid thing to do, okay? And particularly when you have a disease like this that's seemingly running rampant through your particular country, you know, your particular location. Come on. Where do these people come and do this kind of stuff, you know? I mean, I certainly wouldn't go out there and, in close contact with anybody that has some contagious disease. I mean, we've done it in the past, you know, where we've had people that have had the flu and stuff like that, and you tend to avoid them. At least stay away, you know?
You don't go hugging them and touching them and you know, eating off the same plate they eat off and things like that. You know, you avoid any contact with them so that you don't just succumb to the same thing they're suffering from. So, I mean, but there's some people out there, there's some every day, Harry, and sometimes I wonder how they wake up alive, because you would think they'd be so dumb the way they demonstrate it that they would forget to breathe overnight and they would wake up dead, you know? just kind of it's bizarre. I mean, some of these people are just plain bizarre, you know? And they have all kinds of people out there with these goofy beliefs and stuff like that. I mean, of late, we've been running around listening to the so-called flat earthers, the ones that say the earth is flat, you know? They don't say what's on the other side of it necessarily, and they don't say what happens when you get to the edge of it, do you fall off or anything like that, but they claim that the earth is flat, you know, and they believe this nonsense, you know? But, you know, they're just another part of the population that certainly doesn't make any sense to me,
But they're nevertheless are there, you know, doing their thing and you know, pushing their particular beliefs and agendas on everybody else. So, it's just kind of crazy. So anyway,
what else? Oh, the other thing I've been doing here this weekend, Harry, and every year I go through this, and every year I just look at how much more bizarre things actually are, and that is I'm doing my income tax, okay? And I've always done my income tax. I don't take it to anybody and so forth. I do it, and that means I have to go through, and you get it. But you do it yourself, okay? Particularly if you have anything other than normal, W-2 type income and whatnot. You'll go through, but I go through every year with this nonsense, you know. This bag of worms, the rules, regulations, and exceptions, and stuff. And
it comes to a conclusion every year that the state and federal government,
they want to know everything you have is income. Anything. You know, when if I go across my neighbor and I trade him a circular saw, for a grill, okay? Particularly value-wise, they want to know about that. I mean, you're supposed to tell them, okay? You're supposed to put that on there. I don't know anybody who does it, but there's no way they can verify that. But in any case, they want to know every aspect of your income, okay? And when you do your taxes, they want to know everywhere that money went, okay? All these forms you have to fill out, if you had a divorce or, if you had, some sort of a they want to know every bit of it, okay? And it takes you a month or Sundays to do your income tax because you have to sit down and you have to go through all of these various forms, okay, in the instructions and stuff like that to find out whether or not they apply to you or not. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you don't give any thought to during the year to make a little money, spend a little money, and what change in your life occurs and so forth, and there's a form for it, and you've got to put it down there and tell them exactly what the heck is going on, how much money you made, and how much money you put out, and whatnot. And then you have to sit down and you got to balance all that stuff out, so forth. It's the most ludicrous thing you ever saw in your life, okay? And you sit down and, I spend sometimes days working on this stuff, trying to figure it all out. So that's what I've been doing. I get sick of doing that. I work on it for a few hours and then I have to knock off and come back a few hours later and do it for another couple hours and then send it over to the next day and blah, blah, blah. It's bad enough that you have to put up with that, but then putting up with this corona crap at the same time, becomes a little overwhelming after a while. K3IDX, thank you.
This is K3IDX with K3IHS for ID. Yeah, I'm not at all in tune to that the degree of research, and so we've had an accountant ever since I had my business, which is many, many years, and he's very, very good. He's a CPA, and he does very, very well by us, and the amount that we pay him, the small amount, relatively speaking, is more than worth it not to have to put up with that. And to date, all these years, it's been very, 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 very accurate. And we've gotten benefits that are particularly, this guy's got all kind of experience, knows all the tricks. He's not like one of these H&R Block things. This is a CPA we had when I was in business, and he does a really good job for us, and and we've already had our return deposited in our bank account already, and we've got everything that we're going to get back from the government. Now, I know you don't believe in that principle, but we do. It's kind of a designated amount of finances that go to a certain thing, and we just got in the habit of doing that and do it, even though I know that loaning the government money without interest, but the interest that they pay now is pathetic in the bank. If this were 10 years ago, just the interest on our accounts would be, have us on easy street. Just the interest, but not so much anymore. It's just around very close to insignificant. Well, not insignificant, but it's pretty low. So anyhow, that's the story on that about the income tax. You know, I guess he's getting ready to retire, and we'll have to make an adjustment there. But sure hate to see him retire. He's quite good. He's the one that put us on to the fact about the property, you know, the tax break on the elderly and, you know, that you get from the state on the property tax. And that's a good amount, too. So he put us on to that. So anyhow, that's the end of that story. Relative to this coronavirus thing, these people over in Italy, Jenny, they have been programmed, Pavlovianly programmed, such that political correctness is their highest priority in life, obviously, in life. They would rather be politically correct, particularly on this feature of political correctness. They would rather be politically correct than anything. It is everything. It's in their order of worship. They worship it. And if they're instructed to go and bow down before this statue and pay homage to it, no matter what the consequences, they feel like they've got to do it. So out they go to prove that they are politically correct. Now, I heard this on Limbaugh's show, and the guy that's substituting for him, he talked about the absurdity of political correctness and one example of where it's going to take you. And that's what it is. There are people that are so dedicated to political correctness, particularly that one aspect of it, that they'll do anything, they'll give up anything, just to be counted among the brethren. K3IDX, back to K3IHS.
Yeah, very good, Harry. Yeah, I don't understand what you're talking about. I never can get used to these people that have these the goofy ideas and stuff like that. Hey, by the way, I got two...
and ask him what he did to resolve the issue, and we'll look forward to an update come next spring, Larry. So you owe us an update there. Up to you, Dave. WAKFJ in the group. WAKHP.
WAKFJ. Well, I don't know what else we got here today. I haven't heard anyway, but he's talking about the coronavirus virus here. So I'll tell you, it certainly dominates all the news everywhere. No question about that. But I think I'm going to sign and look to people tomorrow morning, I guess. If I don't have a doctor's appointment or something, I don't know.
All right, it ain't any. Well, good morning, Dave. And yeah, hopefully we'll all be here in the morning. It is getting interesting. Good morning, America. through the technical description there on the website. It looks like what this is, Chuck, is it's an off-center fed dipole, and then that box is some sort of transformer. But basically, the vertical element is 17 foot 6, and the horizontal element is a 25 foot wire. And so it's an off-center fed dipole, don't know what the transformer is, whether it's a 4-to-1, that's what you normally use with an off-center fed, but looks like it's an off-center fed, and I'm guessing that 17 foot 6 is, let me see. But anyways, I'm guessing it's about a, you know, 2-to-3 ratio of the size, which is the normal off-center fed dipole. John, over.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, too.
So, yeah, you never know. You just don't.
When somebody gives the black box, the black box, there may have been something else in there. Remember the inset that we worked on, Larry, and got the information on the box on that. There's all kinds of gyrations going on that. Remember that, Larry?
Yep, Roger, Roger. Yeah, that's pretty transparent information on the inset.
Yeah, right. So, just never know.
Yeah, that's what you need. The grocery store that has all the stuff. That's
if Dave's still around or not, but you wouldn't recognize Hartsville anymore with two roundabouts in our area here now.
Do you like roundabouts, David?
Yes. These roundabouts really solved a problem for us here. With the huge flea market turnouts that they have on the weekends in the summertime, number one roundabout by the Hartsville Hardware and the flea market in the Hartsville Country Kitchen there, that solved one problem. And the just a quarter mile or so away, there was another roundabout put in. They have a school over there. And coming off of that school road that was on the side there was just about impossible during, you know, school time or other time. So they're about two within a quarter mile of each other, and they work fantastic, Mark.
No, I think the concept is good. I'm finally learning to get used to them, but I take the back roads over to Micro Center. I have to go for a roundabout.
I don't know how close the roads are for coming in on your roundabout, so I'm not sure where this car came from that you just described pulled out in front of you.
Okay. I was, I don't know, the roundabout's probably 50 feet in diameter. I'm in the roundabout, and he pulls out right, you know, he comes in from a, you know, the first intersection that I would get to going around the roundabout. He pulls out right in front of me. Over.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a roundabout etiquette, and I guess he doesn't know to yield to somebody in the roundabout, and he thought anybody entering roundabouts had the right of way there, Mark.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, if I hadn't been on my brakes, you know, we would have hit. Now, whether he assumed that he had enough clearance to get in ahead of me, which I didn't think he did, you know, that's always my concern is that people haven't learned how to drive the roundabout since they're fairly new down here in Central Ohio. Over. It's on Hayden Run. Where is it? It's Hayden Run and I can't remember the other roads, but it's Hayden Run. It's a little bit west of 270. Over. That's great. Thanks, John. That's it.
I am taking my tape measure out. You're going to have to go on Google Maps and wait. I don't know if the maps have been updated. Probably haven't. To show the roundabouts. Let's see. The smaller of the two for the school has, I think, three, maybe four at the most. Adjoining, roads coming in and out. The bigger one, again, I think only has four roads. The one by the hardware store is a is much bigger than the one by the for the school. So we've got more than enough room there for people to enter and see somebody coming. It's not one right after another one there, Chuck. WAKKN, WAKHB. the they put around about 7 years ago over by the Akron Canton Airport, and it's fairly small in diameter. But and I initially thought, boy, this is way too small, because I've seen semis go around this thing. But they really designed it that way. The whole center section is all paving stones, so that the wheels can go over, and they kept the circles fairly small. So that is their common design for a smaller area type roundabout, as just to make it so that the any truck that needs that extra space has the inside diameter to flip around on. The worst roundabout in my area is one that's been here since day one of my birth. That's the Comet Circle one, and it gets tremendous traffic up there. And if you're familiar with that one at all, it is a very big, very big roundabout, one of the biggest ones I've ever seen in this area. And it's just too much traffic feeding that roundabout at times. So it's really a big roulette wheel where you're going to get in and get out kind of thing there. Go ahead, John. WANX, WAAKHP.
Over.
if you go down the exit on the one highway to get on the other one, you go through a roundabout, you go through two roundabouts, and that way people going any direction on either highway can go any direction on the other highway.
You have, you go into the bank asking how much you need.
Why not?
You're not getting it.
The more dough I got, the more dough I need.
That seems to be it.
Go in with a rubber gun and a mask on. Tell him what you want.
He'll put a check. To be honest, some people want to give a lot away because they want to prop up the economy for certain reasons, and we know that.
Well, it's a lot easier to resurrect a company that has not yet gone bankrupt than a company that's gone bankrupt.
Yeah, sounds right to me.
So, if people aren't handed money to spend during this time, and a lot of people have got to stay home and this, that, and the other thing, if they're not handed money, a lot of companies may go bankrupt and never reappear. That'll extend the economic downtimes, for lack of better words.
Well, if you give people $1,000, how is that going to improve the situation restaurants find themselves in, cinemas find themselves in, anything where people gather? It's not going to improve their situation.
No, it will improve their way of maybe paying their bills, electric, maybe mortgage, maybe rent, things like that. A lot of working moms, now that the kids are home, have had to take a leave of absence for their job. God knows when they're going to get paid. I mean, there are ways of floating money back into the system. And yeah, what you said is true, but something is better than nothing now.
Yeah, for individuals, yes, absolutely.
Like I said before, the chance of resurrecting a company that's gone bankrupt, or many companies that have gone bankrupt, you want to see them hanging on and maybe, you know, feel a lot of pain, but you don't want to see them go bankrupt.
Right now I saw IKEA is closing a bunch of stores. These guys are going to be hurting.
Yeah,
I mean, this is... who knows where it's going to end.
Yeah, my company was in the middle of their annual salary reviews and had already, you know, based off percentages and when they were going out for certain individuals and